And I'd like you, the rest of us, open up to the book of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. Let's begin reading at verse 1, read down through verse 6, and then we're going to go into chapter 8 real quick. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now if you'd go over to chapter 8, John chapter 8, in verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All right, let's pray. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for the reading of your word. It was very short, but we pray that you'd bless it to our spiritual understanding. Because apart from your blessing it to our spiritual understanding, we cannot know really what you want from what we just read. This is a spiritually discerned book. And so therefore, number one, we have to be saved. Number two, we have to be saved and in fellowship. So I pray both of those things are true of many, if not most of us, and if not, that would be made right before we even continue on. And that if anybody is lost, may they understand the reality of the gospel message, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and was crucified on the cross, paid the debt of sin through his blood, the debt of every person here, every person ever, and died and was buried and rose again the third day, and offers a salvation that is full, complete, eternal, and free. And so we would just ask that you move upon the hearts of anybody that might be in that situation, and that you would guide us as we journey through some truths here that are very important in the day in which we live. And I pray that I, of all people, would not get in the way of what you want done in the lives of those people that are here or those that might be watching. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before we get going here, we have continually had issues from time to time with the transmission of our live stream. And the way this works is that we send our live stream to a company. The company then broadcasts it in a single feed. And sometimes that company can have a corrupt line. And sometimes you can have a weak signal, and the buffering doesn't happen as quick. And so I just ask that you understand that a lot of times you can have the latest computer, the most software, up-to-date software, and the feed could be corrupt from time to time. And then other times it's just your computer and the feed. So I just wanted you to understand that. Because we've had some calls and people wanted to know how come it just stops and then it doesn't come back on. I can't explain that unless I could go into the Ethernet world of invisible lines and understand how any of that works. Okay, so in the day in which we live, it has been increasingly popular to present truth as personal, something that might be reality to one person, but not to another. Not that that's anything new. In John 14:6, our Lord spoke exclusively, not relatively. He excluded all others. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He eliminated everyone else, everything else. In Acts chapter 4, if you turn there, Acts chapter 4. We're going to do a little bit of work today, but hopefully I'll balance it off. Acts chapter 4, and look in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. First century believers in the early local churches were built on exclusive truth. There is only one way to be saved, through only one person. And if you go back to John in chapter 6, I have one more element to add here. John chapter 6, and look here in verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Christ taught about eternal life being exclusive. In other words, there's only one way to be saved, there's only one person, and there is only one way to have eternal life, and that is through Christ and receiving him as your Savior. There can be no other way. If you were like in the boat that I was in, it was a sinking ship. It was a sinking ship that had a large denomination, and it said that Jesus died for your sins and that you need to do this and this and this and this and this. And if those things do not happen, then you don't go to heaven. So in other words, it was the old balance deal where good works and bad works, and whichever one outweighed the other, depended on where you go. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is payment for sin. Really didn't have a saving effect, did it? It was just an action. Well, you need to receive him as Savior because that's what that action was designed to do. Maybe you've had this happen to you when you've been witnessing or discussing the Word of God, and you quote a particular passage that's exclusive, like we've been reading, and you get this response, well, that's your truth, but it's not my truth. Well, that leads me to some important points concerning truth. So the title of the message is very similar to Pilate. Pilate asked, what is truth? Well, Pilate should have known. He probably did. So go with me to Psalm 117. Here's the first point. Psalm 117. I started with a number of things that I thought would be important to include, and then I discovered as the longer I went, the more massive this study about truth became. And so this is like a mini version of what is out there and that you could discover very easily. So my first point is this: truth is eternal. Truth is eternal. 117, it's a very long psalm. Let's go to the last verse in the psalm. Verse 2. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. So in John 14:6, our Lord Jesus is equated with truth. And we know from Hebrews 13:8, that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So therefore, and since he is forever, by the way, go to 1 Peter, since we're here, where we're almost there. 1 Peter chapter 1, and look down here in verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, that's religious traditions, by the way, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He was before the foundation of the world. He is before time. He is forever. Truth is not truth unless it is true forever. All right? In Psalm chapter 90, in verse 2, I'll just read what I want. It's in there. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. So when in time past, or before time in the past, or after time in the present, in the future, would he not be God? Right. Never. Right. And the same is true with truth. It will never be untruth in the future, as it was never untruth in the past, before after time. If Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, which he is, and is everlasting, so is truth. It has to be. In John 17, let's turn there if you would, John chapter 17, I'm trying to put a few of these together here. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. And in light of John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Then truth is eternal, as is Jesus Christ. It's very important that you understand the truth is not truth just for the church age. It's not truth just for the age of law or during the tribulation or during the millennium, but it's truth throughout every time. As long as there is time, there is truth. And before and after time, there's truth. It is eternal. All right, number two, go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Not only is it internal, it's external. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Psalm chapter 91. And look here in verse 4. Psalm 91, verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings. Thou shalt trust his truth, shall be thy shield and buckler. All right. God's truth shall be my shield and buckler. Man's ways through being right in his own ways usually leads to destruction. Proverbs 12:5. But truth must originate outside of man. Because if truth is eternal, then truth existed prior to the creation of man. And it's reasonable, therefore, for me to believe, therefore, that truth was there before man was ever there. Before there was time, there was truth. Now, I'm not disagreeing that there are truths that can be discovered by man. I mean, we've discovered gravity, the spherical nature of the earth. We've discovered many scientific things and medical things. But if they're truly true things that we've discovered, then they're not changing. Have you ever noticed that a textbook in school, let's take a science textbook. All of a sudden, the science textbook's out of date. Why is it out of date? Because the so-called science was not truth. And so now they discover something else that negates the so-called truth they had before. You can't find truths in Scripture that negates former truths. And that's important you understand. Whatever truths man discovers, they are external of man. They were there waiting for man to discover them, but they didn't come from within man. They came from outside of man. In John chapter 5, John chapter 5, in verse 31, John 5, verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. The Lord was saying that the principle of truth, while eternal, is also external to man. In John chapter 5, the people were seeing the humanity of Christ, but they missed his deity. They didn't understand what was going on. That God the Father bore witness of Christ's truth at his baptism by John. And now the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, bears witness of the truth in John 15 and 16 to the believer. And we were discussing this in Sunday school. At the moment you were saved, the moment, the indivisible period of time that you were saved, you received the Holy Spirit as the down payment of your salvation. You were sealed by him until the day of redemption. Everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit goes. Do you go places that you wouldn't take God? Well, you're taking the Holy Spirit there. Would you do things to your body that you would not do to the temple of God, which is your body, where the Holy Spirit dwells? Because he dwells there. I mean, we can keep going there, but understand that he bears witness of Christ's truth. So truth is external. I say, somebody tells you I've got a new truth, red flag. Nothing new under the sun, right? Which we did before. And there are a lot of things that are new in Scripture. But as far as teaching, I've got this new doctrine that's been lost since, the early church, and we've rediscovered it in the 1800s. Red flag, 2 red flags, 100 red flags. Let's send them up the pole and realize these people are liars. They're deceivers. No. The truth is there. It's always been true. The truth does not change. It just doesn't. All right. Now, here's the third point. Truth is internal. It's also external, and it needs to be internal. Okay. We were in John 17. Maybe you stayed in John. That would be good. John chapter 17, in verse 17. We already did that. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it must be, truth is eternal in nature and external of mankind. So when truth is established, then the Lord instructs us to make it internal, to take it into ourselves, to do something with it. He wants God's eternal truth to sanctify his people. Well, how can he do that? Psalm 119 verse 9 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. We take the truth of God's word and we take it in, and that truth is going to have some effect on us. This is the same truth that the Lord proclaimed that if we appropriate it in John chapter 8 verse 32, it will set us free to serve him, to live for him, to not have the power of sin reign over us. In Romans chapter 1 verse 18, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And here's the key. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God unleashes his judgment, his wrath, on those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It's not that man originated the truth here, but to man, these truths have been revealed because the eternal truths originate with God. And now man is living in direct contradiction to those truths. He's not internalizing the truth, nor is he allowing the truths to alter his lifestyle or direct his lifestyle. Rather, he is in direct rebellion, knowing the truths that he has chosen to rebel and follow his own truth, which is not God's truth. Cults. False religions. Exact same thing. The truth has been revealed. But man has come along, and of course this is talking about creation, and it gets into morals and so forth. The truth has been revealed. Do you remember the history of our country and the first schools back in New England? What were those schools? Ivy League schools, they call them today. What were they? They were missionary schools. They were fundamental schools. They taught the Word of God. What are they today? They're beyond apostasy. They're reprobate. You're not even allowed to bring out the Bible anymore. All right? So understand the importance of taking in what God has revealed to you. So go with me to Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59. There are three responses that I want to share with you and to other people about the truth. But first of all, I want to catch us up on current events. Psalm 59, verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. That is pretty much our day. Oh, that's your truth, but it's not my truth. How can you be so biased as to say that there is truth and then there has to be error and nothing in between? Pretty easy. God's word says it. All right? So number one, hopefully these responses will help. We must know the truth and what the truth is. And for that, and again, we did a little bit of this in another context. You need to study. You need to read. You need to commit to memory. You need to meditate, go over a verse and go over it and over it and over it. As Katie was saying, because I said, like in Corinthians, read chapter 2 every day. And she said, well, I had a problem with that because I was going and then the Holy Spirit just got a hold of me on a verse. And it was tough to get through that chapter. Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing. But you've got to be reading. And you have to make time to do this. Let's talk about time. How many of us watch a missed message that you were not able to be here for, to attend? Or that you did not see live stream? How many of us take the time to do that? You have to make time to do that. Is that important? I don't know. Do you consider what goes on here important or not? It has to do with priorities. There was an advertisement in the Sunday paper last week. And it featured was it called Beyond Today? I think it was. It was a magazine that they wanted to send you called Beyond Today. And then there was some other stuff. And so I said, well, it's probably, Linda said, who do you think they are? I said, probably Seventh-day Adventists. Could be Jehovah's Witnesses. So that's not them. I don't know. So I got on, I started searching. And boy, this people hid deep, deep down in the crevices of hell what they were getting at. And so finally, it came to mind. And I said, of course it is. It was Armstrong. Herbert W. Armstrong, Gardner Ted Armstrong, World Light Church of Tomorrow, which is no more. And now they call it some other name. And they have a place called Ambassador Bible College. And they're all in this, and they're rejecting this, and they're rejecting that, and they're rejecting this. And do you know what it did? It took some time to find that, because they were so good at hiding the truth. Well, I'm going to do something that you probably would never think that I'm going to do. I am going to read from the Council of Trent, 1545. The Catholics had a lot of councils. This is, let me read I've got the source for this just in case you think I'm making it up. The Council of Trent was the Vatican's response to the then brand new movement of something called the Protestant Reformation. At the Council of Trent, many important things were decided and officially codified into the Catholic canon of teaching. They decided The biblical doctrine of salvation by grace through faith alone was bad for business and had to go. So at it went. All right, this is session 6, canon 9. If anyone says that the sinner is justified by faith alone, meaning that nothing else is required to cooperate in order to obtain the grace of justification, and that is not in any way necessary that he be prepared and disposed by the action of his own will. It's like a lawyer wrote that. Let him be anathema. Council of Trent, session 6, verse canon 14. If anyone saith that man is truly absolved from his sins and justified, because that he assuredly believed himself absolved and justified, or that no one is truly justified but he who believes himself justified, and that by his faith alone absolution and justification are effected, let him be anathema. You got to know the truth. And it does you no good to get onto the bandwagon where people are saying all these groups have some truth. And so we should not be disingenuous and try to persuade them out of the truths that they have. Well, what if those truths are not sufficient to send you to heaven? Israel does not like you to go in and try to convert Jews to Christ. You cannot go there as a missionary. The current Pope says that it's wrong to try to convert anyone from what they were in. Really? He doesn't know the Bible very well. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To just let them know what it says or to try to win them to that saving knowledge of Christ. Of course it's that way. You've got to know the truth. It starts here. If I didn't know what I know from Scripture today, then that small little article could have persuaded me maybe there's something that they have that I could use. You know what they have that you can use? It's called poison. And you can drink it and die. Because it's not going to help you one bit. It's going to deter you from and cause you to doubt the very things that are truth. The truth never changes. And they are changing truths. All right, number two. We must live the truth. James chapter 1. Everything that we've said, and not that I've covered a lot of things here today, just a basic subject matter. Everything that I've said, however, if you read, even on your own, and that's the end of the story, I'm glad that you read, I'm glad if you study, I'm glad if you meditate. It seems unconscionable to me that you could do all that and not practice it or live it. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You don't need a church to deceive you. You've already deceived yourself. If you don't take the word and do something with it, you've deceived yourself. It does you no good. It's puffing you up spiritually. You're like a spiritual balloon. And the more you get, eventually you're going to burst. But it's going to be an internal burst because you're not giving anything out. You've been given the truth to give it out, give it away. God gave away his only begotten son. Where to give out the truth of God's word? All right. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Is there anything you don't understand about that? Is there anything that's too complex about that? You take in the truth. All right, hopefully you've taken some things in here. We've got some more to go. And you're going to take them in, and now you're going to do something about it. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, what is it? It's sin. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. All right, you've known to, you, what is this? Knoweth to do good? commanded to do good and you don't do it, it's sinful. No wonder we're in the mess we are. We of all people who have the truth are quiet and reserved. We don't want to get into any trouble. We don't want to get into any quarrels. We don't want to get to any confrontations. You don't know our Lord, do you? He was always in confrontations. And he gave out the truth. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "You have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so you walk in him." Sure, you received him by faith. Walk in faith. Give it out. All right, number 3. Know the truth. Live the truth. Teach the truth. So we go on the list, it gets a little more dicey. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Teach the truth. Many of you say, Lord has not called me to be a teacher. The Lord has not called me to teach. I got bad news for you. It can be good news, but if you use that as an excuse, you're in big trouble. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And, of course, this was to the Jews. Hear, O Israel, verse 4. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. External truth, internal, and now applying the truth. All right? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You want the bad news? Truth be told, we are all teachers. We're all teachers. We are always teaching. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, you are always teaching for the truth or against the truth. If you stayed up till the wee hours of the morning and you came here with toothpicks in your eyelids, what are you teaching? If there is anything that can conflict between you and God's word, what are you teaching? We're all teaching something. If you can be one thing here and another person there, out of here, what are you teaching? You're teaching something. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is writing to the second epistle to the Corinthians, and he makes this statement. Verse 2. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. There's a evangelist back in the last century by the name of Gypsy Smith. He made this statement, and I'm quoting, "You are the Bible for many people, and I imagine that some of them are looking for the revised version." Why? Because you're teaching them that. You're teaching them inconsistency. You're teaching them your attitude. There's a little thing on earth in the lobby. If everyone in the church was like me, what kind of church would this be? If you're unfriendly, what are you teaching them? If you're hateful, what are you teaching them? I mean, this in Deuteronomy was your children, but your children transfers out of your children. Your children grow up and you still do that. You keep on the same habits. We are a people that must teach the truth and live the truth. All right. You don't need to look these up. I'll give you the reference. These are things that believers, we who are saved, should do. John 4:24, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. There's a lot of worship going on today that is not spiritual at all. It is fleshly. It is definitely 100% fleshly. Maybe you throw a little thimble of truth in there and you call it, well, we're worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. You go in, you're all excited, you're entertained. Everything feeds the flesh, the movements of your body, and then you get a verse, maybe, and then a talk. And everybody goes out feeling good about themselves, and everybody is so excited. Wasn't this great? It was just so, the Lord was there. We could feel him. I don't know what Lord that was. But unless you worship the Lord in spirit and truth, it's false worship. Joshua 24, verse 14, we're to serve the Lord in truth. I don't like to use myself as examples, but sometimes things happen and you're able to do this. When there was a video that was presented here years ago, that Jesus of Nazareth, there was a guy that was distributing that and wanted us to jump on the bandwagon. And so I said, who's doing this? And he says, well, I just happen to have all the churches that are involved. And there were 43 churches. I didn't know that there were that many here. And I said, well, are you comfortable with this church that denies the Bible is inerrant, that denies salvation is by grace through faith? Are you comfortable with that? Well, he said, no, but, you know, they'll get the truth out. I said, are you comfortable about this one that's in violation of what we believe in doctrines in the scripture? Well, no. And I just went through and I said, no. I said, I would not be true to the Lord. I would be disobedient to the Lord to make that a part of what we do here. We're to serve the Lord in truth. I don't want to go where I was reading, but talking about the kings and stuff, and one of the priests came to one of the kings and made a statement that's so strong, and when you read the context of what was written, wow, why don't we have people like that today? 1 Kings 2:4, walk before the Lord in truth. You know what that means? Not just here, when you leave here. Wherever you are, walk before the Lord in truth. Proverbs 23:23, esteem the truth as your most valuable possession. Anything that you would not want somebody to take from you? Anyone you would not want anyone to take from you? Make this one the most valuable. Truth. Truth. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 19, love the truth. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, rejoice in the truth. Philippians 4, 8, meditate on the truth. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, bind the truth about your neck and write the truth in your heart. That sounds like a lot of work. It takes effort. It doesn't just happen. Like anything that's fruitful or productive or profitable, it doesn't just happen. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes study. It takes time. Zechariah 8, verse 16, execute judgment in truth. We have a culture that's drunk with self and proclaiming a personalized designer truth, like designer drugs, that is fraudulent. And the people of God must faithfully proclaim truth. We must, and we must live it, and we must teach it. If anybody's going to be persuaded otherwise, and if we've gone too far, we've gone too far. But we still need to do it. If it means it's trouble for us, it's trouble for us. If it means that it's jail, if it means that it's punishment, so be it. But it's not yet. You can still do this. You can still be this. You can still teach this. But we have a book that does not contain truth. It is truth. And when you think about what man has done, he has elevated his truth as equal, if not superior, to God's truth. How can you say that? Well, you go back to the 1880s and you have Westcott and Hort, and they decided that God's word was insufficient. And so they changed it by two documents. One in the trash can and the other one in the Vatican. Would you trust anything in the Vatican? And it's gone downhill ever since because people came after them and they said, I don't think you got it right. And so the next group came and the next group came and the next group, and they're continuing through today. And guess what? Nobody's ever got it right. You know why? because this did get it right. It's always been right. So why change it? Well, man has decided that he can develop truth on an equal par with God. No, truth is from outside in. Take the truth and esteem it as your most valuable possession. You may then take some time and actually read on your own and study on your own and compare scripture with scripture on your own. Not have somebody do it for you, but actually do it on your own. Say, well, it takes a lot of time to do that. Probably not as long as the time it takes for you to wake up, get dressed, eat, brush your teeth, get all ready for wherever you're going to go and go out the door. If you could spend that amount of time on you, surely you can spend more than that time on God. And the disparity of time, most of what we spend is not on God, it's on us. We're concerned about us, we moan about us, we travail about us, we laugh about us. It's all about us. No, it's all about God. And then we come later. Isn't that the formula for joy? Jesus first, others next, and yourself last. We've created a word that doesn't exist. Y-O-J. Ourselves first, others next, and Jesus last. I don't know if God has spoken to your heart this morning, but I hope he has. We have something that is so valuable that is worth fighting for. It's worth bleeding for. And we don't want to let it go. So let's pray. Let's bow your heads this morning. And I don't know where you are spiritually, but I know God does because he knows everything. He knows the truth about you, me. He knows where you are. He knows where you're not. If you're here and you're lost, the Lord Jesus came to save you. He died for you. He shed his blood for you. He rose from the dead for you. And he offers you a salvation that is by grace through faith. You can have that. Or you can deny it. Just realize you have to bear the responsibility of doing that. Believers, we who are saved, you can believe the truths that are here in Scripture, or you can rebel against them too. But again, you have to accept the responsibility that comes from denying the truth, or rejecting it, or walking away from it. I'm glad we have something that is way above us. There's never a time where I will ever achieve in this life perfection. Never a time when I will have a handle on every truth that is here in God's Word. But at least I can spend some time grasping the truths that I have and the ones that are brought before me until I go to be with the Lord. Surely we can do that. And surely we could be the examples and the testimonies we need to be before other people. From the home, to the school, to the workplace, to the church. There's no end. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that you have spoken to them, that your will and our will would be brought together as one. There's much to do. Little time to do it. Day of our salvation, the eternal salvation, is much closer than when we first believed. Can't do anything about yesterday. Can do everything about today and what days you give us in the future. We can be found faithful. We'll just take whatever it's given to us, use it for your honor and for your glory. So speak to our hearts in this invitation. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.